The Lenten season is a season of many themes. There's the theme of repentance, remembering the things that we have done and the things left undone, the act of acknowledging our brokenness before God and before our brothers and sisters. There's the theme of remembering our baptism, the act of remembering how we were washed in the water and the Word, drowning the old Adam and arising to live in the second or last Adam of Jesus Christ. There's the theme of marking this season with the beautiful disciplines of Lent, of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. But it is this last theme that seems to incorporate them all, and that is the theme of dying. As Father Jonathan Melton, the pastor at St. Francis House, our neighbor to the east, was our preacher at our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service, and in his sermon he proclaimed, "Lent is a time spent learning how to die." His words for us should come as an echo of those uttered by Jesus in our gospel pericope for today. The words that Jesus offers up in this particular piece of scripture are hard to swallow for the disciples, and especially so for Peter. We go from just verses before of Peter confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, to Peter being harshly rebuked by Jesus after Peter cannot stomach the thought what his ears had just heard, that Jesus, the one who would restore the kingdom, the one who would redeem or save all of Israel, was going to suffer and die. Peter is absolutely bulldozed. He's laid flat by this claim that it is safe to assume perhaps he never even heard the part about him rising in 3 days. Regardless, Jesus, after rebuking Peter, isn't quite done yet. He then proceeds to turn this private conversation into a much more public one by calling out to the crowd and his disciples, saying to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." I wonder what kind of effect this had on Peter and on the disciples in that moment. The moment when they heard those words about denying themselves and taking up their cross. Had these men not given up their livelihoods to follow Jesus? Were they not the followers of Jesus? His hand-selected 12? The chosen? Did it dawn upon them that perhaps this wasn't exactly what they had signed up for? This notion of losing their life must have seemed very strange. Hadn't they seen Jesus perform acts of healing, of restoration, of wholeness? Did they hold the notion that with Jesus there would be no more suffering, no more calamity, because Jesus possessed the power to keep these forces at bay, even those of demons and of darkness? What was in Peter's mind when he took Jesus aside and uttered his disapproval of Jesus' proclamation? There's a myriad of possibilities, but three come to my mind. One of them stems from the true affection and love that Peter had for Jesus. He couldn't bear the thought of his teacher and his friend suffering, being rejected, and dying. Another comes from the assumed role or the idea of the messianic figure, that through the Messiah, the kingdom of Israel would be restored and usher in a new era of peace and a time of endless prosperity for God's chosen people as the Messiah sat upon the throne of David. The Messiah in no way, shape, or form is supposed to die. And lastly, there is this idea of self-preservation. It is the simple understanding that Peter, for all of his shortcomings, isn't completely dense after all. He is smart enough to know that what befalls the teacher most certainly will befall his students. If Jesus is proclaiming death and suffering for himself, why would his beloved disciples escape such a fate? And it is this third possibility that keeps rattling around in my brain. Because it is the one humanity is most accustomed to. More often than not, we hear and see stories of self-preservation, the sacrifice of others to save one's own skin. The lengths we will go to save face, sometimes with total disregard for the vulnerable, especially when it comes to an appearance of success or of winning. It is this obsession with winning that continues to permeate our society. Though many things in this world have changed over time, our understanding of what winning looks like seemingly has not. Frankly, how can one win when one suffers and dies? How is this to be packaged and sold as winning? Promised suffering, bearing crosses, losing one's life? That's a lousy recruitment slogan. Protection from suffering, avoiding the cross. That is what we want and expect from God, is it not? Well, it isn't what God has promised. For here Jesus firmly says, if any want to follow me or become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Or as Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote so strikingly, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Not too often will you find this as the welcome message on a parish sign, but it doesn't change the fact that this is indeed what Christ's call entails. Now, if you've been paying attention at all to international news of late, you've probably encountered something or another on the civil war in Syria. If you haven't, my brothers and sisters, the news and images out of such places as Ghouta and Aleppo will render your hearts in grief over the atrocities being committed to the people there. As news of a ceasefire hit the AP wire yesterday, I was reminded of the film, The Last Men in Aleppo, through the eyes of volunteer rescue workers, Syrian civil defense, otherwise known as the White Helmets. One experiences the daily life, death, and struggle in the streets. This documentary, which is up for Documentary of the Year in the Academy Awards, enables the viewer a glimpse of the Sisyphean struggle that is life in a city where war has become the norm. The White Helmets, for me, are an example of what Christ calls us to when he beckons, come and die. White helmets have left family and home behind to risk their lives on a daily basis, which some of them losing their own, to rescue people from rubble and the debris that remains after yet another barrel bombing. I do not know the faith of these men. I do not know whether they are Christian or not, but I can see the cross on their shoulders as they die each day to their own wants, their own hopes, their own desires. They have clearly put the lives of others before their own and see this as their only option now. As one of the white helmets so succinctly put it, if I do leave Aleppo, it's only to the cemetery. This is the call of the Christian, to kill off our obsession with ourselves, to crucify our wants, our desires, our dreams, and to offer ourselves up to be shaped by God, not the other way around. As Bonhoeffer said, the call to discipleship, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ means both death and life. Our dying to selves is purposeful. This daily dying to self is in order that we may more fully live that life we have in Jesus Christ. When we die to our obsession with winning, with self-preservation, we can behold and experience a suffering God who has moved into our vulnerability, our guilt, our alienation, our suffering, and yes, even our death. We die to ourselves, my brothers and sisters, so that we may live in and for God and our neighbor. And in doing so, Jesus does what he has always done. He goes before us. As he symbolically puts Peter behind him in his chastisement, he places Peter and all of his disciples and all those followers yet to come in their rightful place. For it is our calling to be led by Jesus. For he is the only one who can lead us from death into life, from damnation to salvation, going before us always. So, my brothers and sisters, come and die. Christ beckons. Come and die. Amen.